Welcome to the Public Speakers Association. This is our Change Your World Virtual Summit. I'm so excited to have Ms. Kathy Lockman in today to give us some incredible information. So, Kathy, why don't you just take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Tanya. That's I'm really happy to be here. And I want to thank you to thank all of our listeners that continue to participate and show up for our telesummits and listen to them and go back to our website and download them. You know, these telesummits are here for you. I mean, they're obviously, it's a great way for us to introduce ourselves to you and give more information to you. But it's a great opportunity for you to learn, because what we want to do is provide you with information and inspiration, both, that is easy for you to access and apply. It's one of my favorite things about the Public Speakers Association, about PSA and what Tanya has put together, is that everything is about delivering information to us as speakers, to you as our audience, that you can access and apply it to make it work for you. So I hope you're all enjoying this series, but I also want to remind you to please be sure and check back even the previous telesummits. There's just incredible value there for the taking, so make sure that you're taking advantage of that. So let me just share with you that when I thought about our session today, the subject that kept coming to the forefront is something that I think is very important but often overlooked, and that is language. I mean, what could be more universal in terms of a topic for an audience of speakers than language? And more importantly, what could be more important in terms of a skill for speakers than language? So I want to welcome you then to today's topic, the power of words. And if you saw this in the agenda, you can see that the title of the presentation is Abracadabra, the Power of Words. And that came from a blog post. I did it as a blog post, and I had such a great response to it that I thought, okay, I need to develop this out a little bit more. Because that's kind of what happens even with you as a speaker, is what resonates with the audience, and you know that you need to develop that out some more. And the word choices are many times a key part of that. So my guess is that most of you at some point, you've either watched a real or imaginary magician and heard them use that word, abracadabra. And it's a command of transformation, magical change. That magician shouts the word and poof, there's a rabbit that appears in the hat. There's silk scarves become doves. So that shout, abracadabra, that's the command. But I want to talk about the word, because I think this is the key for driving the point home. Its origins come from the Aramaic language, and the original word is actually has two parts. The first part is Ibra, I-B-R-A, and it means I have created. And the second part is Kadibra, K-D-I-B-R-A, and that means through my speech. How fantastic that one of the most well-known words associated with transformational magic means I have created through my speech. So we think about our motto here at PSA, has changed the world from the front of the room. What are we doing? We're creating through our speech. We're having that transformational magic, and it is through our speech, which means it's from our words. So whether you are a writer who speaks or a speaker who writes, and I'm finding that most of us do a little bit of both, it's always our desire to do this. We want to illustrate. We want to instruct. We want to inspire. We want to entertain. We always have one of those as what we are attempting to do. We want our audience to have that experience as a result of our communication with them. It's why we use a story form, so we can create that needed connection thread with them to get to that result. The words we choose and the stories we tell act like an unseen tour guide that transports someone from where they are to another place. Whether we're reading or listening, the end result can be just as powerful as that abracadabra experience that we have when we're watching magic. Whether we're aware of it or not fully, the words that we choose do influence the way we think, believe, speak, and act. The words themselves and the words chosen by others can help us see other points of view as well, to see and hear not only new thoughts, but new ways of expressing old thoughts requires new words, new phrases. So if you think of it this way, new words and new phrases equal new points of view. And a new point of view means a new life experience. Now, I'm a life strategist and a life coach, and I can tell you we spend a lot of time on this. So it's important for speakers, but it's important for all of us just in the way we live. I mean, you think about this when you ask someone a question and you say, "What's wrong with you?" You've immediately chosen a word that creates a defensive response versus asking a question of, "You seem preoccupied. What's on your mind?" The choice of words is a big, big deal, and that is true for speakers as well. So I thought today we'd take this just a little bit further, and I'm going to share with you five ways that you can sharpen your skills as you broaden and deepen your mastery of words as a speaker. So let's get right to work. And again, if anybody's just tuning in, I'm Kathy Loffman. You're listening to the telesummit for the PSA, Public Speakers Association. And our topic today is abracadabra, the power of words. And then we're on our first point, and that is the illusion of the perfect word. Quite often when we first start talking about language, you know, our impulse is to go straight to the thesaurus and just look for other words. So it's like, oh my gosh, I got to find a new word. And we begin chasing down those rabbit holes. And before we know it, we've lost track of even the original purpose for the thought we wanted to express. It can really take you way off track. I'm not an advocate of this because I think it's important for your language to be naturally expressed and flow with ease. I will use words that I'm familiar with and work for me that might not work for you, and vice versa. The key here is that the words need to be words that you actually use because it needs to naturally flow from you. So what I recommend you do first is to become what I call a collector of words routinely. Work on your vocabulary first versus any particular presentation. So, you know, there's lots of ways to do this. Set yourself a goal that you're going to add 2 words a week to your vocabulary and pick words. Listen, and you'll be amazed. You know, it's kind of like you never see a red car until you buy one, and then you see red cars everywhere. You never thought about words until now, but once you start thinking about them, words, your word sensitivity radar is going to go up, and you'll start hearing words. So when someone uses a word, claim that word as yours and start using it. Start using it naturally in your own speaking pattern. And that's going to naturally improve your speaking and presentation because those new terms are going to flow from you. Pay attention to what words other successful speakers are using. There's a couple of books out there that I use. One is called Words That Sell and Phrases That Sell. And I use those a lot in my copywriting, but I also use them when I'm working on a presentation because I want to know what words resonate with audiences, but I have to add them to my own natural vocabulary first. But before then, there are a couple of points that I want to make to you, 2 points that you do need to address straight away. And I'm going to kind of encapsulate these in quotes, okay, because there are 2 people that have said this far better than I could say it, which is another point in your speaking, is that sometimes it's been written and said so brilliantly by someone else. Don't ever be afraid to use that. So our first one comes from C.S. Lewis, and here's what C.S. Lewis had to say for our first point. Don't get dramatic in the wrong places. Don't use words that are too big for the subject. Don't say infinitely when you mean very. Otherwise, you'll have no word left when you want to talk about something that's really infinite. So I think that's a great point when we start talking about the illusion of the perfect word, but to get to a good word, even a great word, don't get dramatic in the wrong places. The second point comes from Kleinbaum, the author of one of my favorite movies and books, Dead Poets Society. And it says this, don't get lazy, get vivid. Avoid using the word very, because it's lazy. A man is not very tired, he's exhausted. Don't use very sad, use morose. Language was meant for one reason, and that is for you to woo people, to engage them. So make sure that when you are doing that, that you are vivid in the language that you choose. So those would be a couple of points under that illusion of the perfect word. So we're not trying to get the perfect word, but we are trying to get a better word, a great word for what we want to express. The second point in our points of five is understanding the value of scarcity. And this is another point that I think we often overlook out of laziness. What words do you overuse? Before you say none, beware. We all have them. This is a great starting point for your vocabulary building. Is everything or everyone awesome? Is everything or everyone amazing? Do you find yourself saying, oh, that was awesome, or that was amazing? Are those words showing up a lot? Perhaps it's time to think about the fact that when you overuse the word, you diminish its value, kind of like that point we had before. So there is value in the scarcity of when you use the word. We all understand scarcity as consumers, right? If they only made 10, guess what? The price goes up, right? So scarcity makes it worth more. I chose the two words that I did because, quite frankly, I think they are two of the most overused words out there today, especially in marketing. And I find myself falling right into that same language trap. So here's a couple of tips that you can take away right now to address and change this habit for yourself. First, create awareness for what you're doing. If you're primarily a speaker, record and listen back. Listen for repetitive words. But even more powerful will be to take the recordings and get them transcribed so that they're on paper. Let the words speak for themselves and then take action. Here's what I recommend. Do a word ban challenge. This is crazy effective. Let me just tell you. If awesome or amazing are your fallback words, ban yourself from using them for the next 30 days. Come up with alternate word choices, and before you know it, the habit has replaced those words with better choices. Your listeners or readers will appreciate the effort. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Instead of awesome or amazing, you could say tremendous, remarkable, wonderful, incredible, marvelous, surprising, compelling, inspiring. Great words. And they show thought, and they can get, you can make them very specific why that applies in that case. And here's one that's a personal favorite from our founder, leader Tanya Hoffman, fabulous. I mean, if she uses the word fabulous, which I love that word. I mean, there is just no way that that word doesn't speak volumes. And here, let me just give you a little insight, because we are speaking in English, we get a bonus that might not be found in a lot of other languages. We have an extra, 300,000 words. At the last measurement, the last count, there were 490,000 words, and still growing, by the way, in the English language, the largest language in the world. So when it comes to deciding which word to use where, you've got plenty of choices. So let's go from there to our next point, which is strategic word placement and phrasing. Now, this sounds like a long thing, but let me just tell you, this is where repetition is our friend and a valuable tool because it's used to reinforce our message and to add value to our overall brand. I mentioned Tanya and the word fabulous. She has leveraged that word as her own stamp of approval, the ultimate Tanya approval. You can even access interviews for PSA featured speakers that is their fabulousness revealed. Anytime I hear that word, my mind immediately goes to Tanya. That's a smart use of a great word. If you're familiar with Lisa Nichols, who's another fantastic speaker, and you have said yes, yes a few times, if you're familiar with her and been in her audience, that's her signature audience response. Yes, yes. Can I get a yes, yes? She trains you from the beginning of the presentation to give that response. A simple yes won't do. It's yes, yes. When someone uses that phrase, I know they've had the privilege of hearing Lisa speak. But in Engage, she chose the word. She chose its repetition to engage the audience and really create that memorable experience. So by having the signature words and key phrases that you use throughout the presentation, that memory just gets reinforced. Another example of key word usage comes from Sally Hogshead. And if you're not familiar with her, I strongly recommend her work. But let's just talk a minute about what makes you you, what's remarkable about you, intriguing, interesting. That's her platform. She sought for a way to brand that because that's her program, revealing that information to you so you can leverage it. And the word she claimed, fascinate. Isn't that a great word? She built an entire program and company around the idea of fascination, because what fascinates us pulls us. And specifically the word fascinate. Can you imagine? From a word, a business. One of the easiest ways to begin incorporating this into your own presentations is to have an audience response that you can use and take advantage of word tools like acronyms. So have your own, say from the beginning how you want the audience to interact with you. Get them engaged with a word that relates specifically to what you're talking about. Take advantage, again, of those acronyms. People can then associate that acronym as both a word and a concept and relate them specifically to you. I recently heard a life and time management expert present using time, the word time, as an acronym. Well, she repeated the words within the framework, and at the end, the audience was able to repeat them with her. That's smart. Another point that I want to make is we use quotes. I'm going to use quotes in here today, right? But make yourself quotable. Create sound bites within your presentation. That is what I mean about strategic phrasing. Create those sound bites. Not sure what that means? I bet you'll understand this. Be tweetable. Make sure that what you're putting out there, that there are some sound bites that people can directly quote you and tweet. If you want some more help with that, go to some of the event hashtags and look at what people were tweeting. That was strategic phrasing in action. Which brings us to number four, which is one of my favorites, leveraging the senses. But before we do that, let's just backtrack 1 minute, catch everybody up. This is Kathy Loftman, and we're talking about Abracadabra, the power of words. And our first hint was, and our first tip was about in the illusion of the perfect word, is to make sure that we're not getting dramatic in the wrong places and that we're not getting lazy and we're being vivid in the words that we choose. The second point was understanding the value of scarcity and make sure that we are choosing the right word at the right time and not falling into that trap of overusing a particular word. The third point that we've just wrapped up is that strategic phrasing. Again, make sure that you're memorable based on how you've created a connection through the language. And so here we are now to number four, leveraging the senses. Now, we all know what those senses are, sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. You have to bring a vision to life. We do that by bringing senses into the mix. When you ask someone to close their eyes and imagine where they are, what sounds do they hear? What do they see? What do they smell? What does it feel like if it's a rug? What does it feel like under their feet? The senses. This can be best described, I think one of the best ways I've heard this described as a speaking style is show me, don't tell me. If you take your key concepts and you go through the senses and you show them by sensory words and incorporate your examples and stories, that's going to bring them really home for the listener. Words that speak to our senses are words that build images. Words that describe sounds, smells, tastes, evoke memories. If it's flat, dull, boring, or vivid, resonant, and lucent, which is it going to be? Find those few chosen words for your presentation that are not just going to dazzle the mind's eye, but are going to bring a particular image and vision into play for the listener. So make sure that you're leveraging the senses, because that is really going to make them remember you and what you shared even more vividly. Well, our last point is, as we come into these 5 points, is that this idea of, this is what I heard, is that what you said? Because this is where we start talking about considering the audience when choosing your words. It could be demographics, it could be technical jargon, it could be some kind of lingo that's used. All of those things start coming into play. But for this, I think there's just 2 things you need to think about to master effective word choice. First of all, you have to really know what words mean. The worst mistake you can make is to use words inappropriately. So if you want to be misunderstood, misuse a word. So make sure you know what the words mean. The second thing is, know what your readers or listeners think they mean. So, for example, if you have an audience that's all young people, a word might mean something different to them than an older demographic. If you are talking to accountants, there might be a word that would mean something totally different than that word might mean to musicians or performers. So make sure that if there are certain words that mean certain things in the genre of your audience, that you're taking that into account. You know, one of the best writings on this I found to share with you actually came from someone talking about poetry. But I thought it was great because, you know, what words mean and what our readers think they mean or our listeners think they mean might not always be the same thing. So I thought this was a great example when it's talking about poetry and you think about this not just in terms of poetry, but in terms of the information we share. One demands two things of a poem. Firstly, it must be a well-made verbal object that does honor to the language in which it is written. Secondly, it must say something significant about a reality common to us all, but perceived from a unique perspective. What the poet says has never been said before, but once he or she has said it, the listeners recognize its validity for themselves. That, to me, spoke volumes in terms of what this really is about, making familiar things new and making new things familiar. We do that by being sensitive to the language that will matter to our particular audience. So we've gone through those 5 points, and, you know, I think when we wrap it up, it's just, we go back to that beginning, this abracadabra I create through my speech. And what do you want to create through your speech? If you set that intention and you have that strategy, then you just unleash your inner magician and let that go to work for you. But I'm going to share a couple of more quotes that I think are great ones for us to consider. They both come from Jim Rohn, who is one of my early mentors. And even though he's no longer with us here, his teachings still live on, and they're very evergreen in their wisdom. So here is what he had to say about words. He said, words do two major things. They provide food for the mind and create light for understanding and awareness. And the second quote from him that I think is fantastic and relates right to our abracadabra, the power of words, is this. If you just communicate, you can get by. But if you communicate skillfully, you can work miracles. And that's what we mean by change the room. Change the world from the front of the room. So those are the 5 points that I wanted to share with you today about the power of words. And I think if we put those to work for us, they can all make a huge difference, not only in what we do in the moment with the audience, but also just knowing what that's going to mean to our specific businesses and our own skills as speakers. I do want to invite you to visit me at my website. The website is mckenziecircle.com. That's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E, circle, C-I-R-C-L-E.com. If you go to the website, you will see there that there's an ebook available to you there. If you want to just get on my mailing list, you will be able to get your copy of it. It's a fresh approach to change. A lot of it comes into play here in talking about words, and I use a lot of word associations in that ebook, and I would love for you to have that as a gift from me and a takeaway. But I also want to invite you make sure that you, again, come back and hear more of the speakers and even go back to our past telesummits. I know we've all got a lot of things out there and a lot to do, but I think it would be well worth your time. And so with that, I'm just going to wrap up and hand it back to Tanya. And thank you again for sharing your afternoon with us or your time with us here today. And with that, Tanya, back to you.
Perfect. Yay. That was amazing. That was totally fabulousness going on there. It's always nice when you plug the person putting you on, right?